Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Wednesday afternoon. I haven't checked on Sarah Mills. England has just started their final friendly tune-up game for the World Cup. They're taking on Costa Rica. Great country to visit, by the way, is Costa Rica.
I have not been on my list.
Should be on your list. Fantastic down there. And Portugal is playing their final friendly. As then it's the World Cup tomorrow. Mexico begins against South Africa, and South Korea plays Czechia in the opening games of the World Cup. Canada begins on Friday. Our resident footy expert will talk hockey now, Drew Remenda.
Get in the fast lane, Kramer. The bingo game is ready to roll.
It's time to drop the gloves.
Let's do that hockey.
Drew Romenda here on the Green Zone. Drew, do the boys watch the footy? I know they're basketball fans and football fans, but do they watch the soccers?
I try to stay out of their lives a lot. Jimmy. I don't know.
Okay.
No, I think they do.
Okay.
A little bit here and there. Yeah. That was actually pretty funny. Thank you. I'm here all week.
Okay, that was very good. Very good.
You know, we didn't get into Joel Pavelski last.
Yes, we did not. But
last hit,
Drew Remenda is a big Joe Pavelski guy, although now Bruce Cassidy would be interested in talking to the Toronto Maple Leafs in Vegas to let him talk to him.
But Bruce Cassidy is going to have to just basically wait until this playoff series is over. And if he goes to the East, I imagine that would be something that Kelly would and George McPhee and Mr. Foley would probably acquiesce to letting him speak to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Are you sure?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
I think it's not out of the realm of possibility, and this might sound crazy, that they just don't rehire Bruce Cassidy. Like, what was the Yankees manager they brought back at one point? I think it.
I can picture him right now.
Yeah, they brought him back like two or three times. It was ridiculous. Billy Martin. Yes.
Martin, yeah.
He brought him back 100 times. I mean, it's ridiculous how many times they brought him back. But you're right, Locker. I'm not sure about that. But I think going to the East and not a divisional opponent would certainly be a little bit more palatable. When you look at Pavs, listen, I can't say enough great things about the guy. I'll just tell you a quick story about Pavs. Pavs was, in his rookie year, has his exit interview with then-coach Ron Wilson from the San Jose Sharks. And he said to Joe Pavelski, Pavs, you're my 13 forward. You're not big enough. You're not strong enough. You don't skate well enough. And you're like, I'm not sure what you do. And he starts giving him a list of things that he needs to do to improve on in order to be a regular in the National Hockey League. A lot of guys would take that and call his agent and go, coach, hates me. This guy, I can't play for this coach. Then the coach, then the agent would phone the GM, and then a trade would happen.
Then the NHLPA would be involved, and there'd be an investigation.
Exactly, yeah. And Pavs went, thanks, Ron, I appreciate that, and then went to work on all those things. And he was, guys, literally the first guy on the ice in practice. Mm. First of all, working on his shot. And then when Brent Burns came to the team, it was him and Burnsy on the ice. Him standing in front, Burnsy picking the puck up off the boards and shooting it, and Pavs becoming the tip master, the greatest tipper in the world in front of the net. And then he continued to work on it. He was a self-made superstar. He's definitely going to be in the Hall of Fame. But other than that, the person, you guys, the character he has, the love for his teammates that he has still to this day, Pavs is one of those guys that if you were on the team, you were on the team. You were part of everything. Hmm. An incredible human being. And you could do a hell of a lot worse hiring Joe Pavelski. He's brilliant.
Now, I really do want to talk about the Stanley Cup final. Okay. However, this Mike Babcock thing is just a gong show.
Yeah.
It's an absolute bleep show. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
It's 2023 all over
but
again.
But we've said
somebody wants to go on a podcast and, you know, crap talk Mike Babcock, and out of all the people in the NHL, I don't understand this.
If you did something awful, like we've said this multiple times, it's worth saying,
and it hasn't come out yet,
then fine, then we're all wrong, and shame on us. But yeah, like it just
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense that they're reopening up an investigation that wasn't big enough or a big enough deal to deal with back in the day. Like, if it was that big of a deal, you'd think there would have been more done before he quit.
Yeah, well, the NHL, they didn't do an investigation then because he did resign his spot. So that's why there was no need for an investigation then.
Well, then it must not have been that big of a deal.
The NHLPA on this go-around has requested an investigation. They're the ones that have spurned this and wanted an investigation. There are some rumors now coming out. Frank Saravelli said it on, I think it was Bob Stauffer's show, that there's more things that are coming out now or that to be need to be investigated now as this is coming to the forefront, more than just the phone, looking at the phone. Listen, I will tell you, and you know, I've said this before. I've known Mike for a long time, so I will tell you that why he was doing the phone stuff and all that stuff. I've given you my explanation of how we do that with each other, send pictures back and forth. But with the players in that situation, we talked about it last time. It is an invasion of privacy, and he shouldn't have done it. As far as whatever else goes, you know, the Chilios thing, the Franson thing, Chris Osgood, on and on and on it goes with Mike when he was in Detroit. This is a situation, though, where I don't remember it ever happening where the NHLPA has asked for an investigation of a possibility of a hiring. Now, the only way that the NHL is going to investigate is if the Oilers tell the NHL he definitely 100% is the guy we want to hire. So therefore, will you do the investigation? And the NHL will handle it. Mr. Bettman will handle it probably personally, like he did with the Chicago situation. So, That, from my understanding, as of today, the Oilers haven't said anything to anybody regarding he's going to be the guy we're going to hire. So the investigation, as far as I know, hasn't happened. Maybe something has changed within, you know, the last few hours. But this is an NHLPA request, and I heard you guys talking earlier, that it does certainly bring up a lot of questions about, yes, you want to have the power to, and the players want to have some more power, and they've been getting more power in these last CBAs, and they are directing it. But the players that talked to Mike Babcock, according to reports, and Mark Spector did a great article yesterday on Sportsnet.ca, but David Dreisaitl, I think it was Hyman, and I want to say Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, but I might be wrong, might be Ekholm, all talked to Mike Babcock. Yeah, they all talked to Mike Babcock, and they said, this is the guy we want. So it's a very interesting situation. I think it's unprecedented. I don't know of any other situation where the NHLPA has instigated an investigation into a potential hire of a coach.
Drew, I'm very curious, because I know, I shouldn't say this. I speculate that Bettman's not happy about this. And the reason why he's not happy about this doesn't have anything to do with the fact that the Oilers want to hire Babcock. It's the timing of it. That's my guess. We're on the air right now with our hockey insider, and we're talking about the Edmonton's potential next head coach hire. We're not talking about the game tomorrow night.
So he's
got to be just choked. I'm curious, and again, this is purely speculation. Do you think the Oilers did this kind of maliciously because they're upset
with the Bruce Cassidy
stuff?
Oh boy, we're getting the tinfoil hats on here.
Oh my goodness.
Jamie hates it when I go down these conspiracies. Oh, I didn't even write that question down and in front of us because I knew Jamie would be like, you're not asking that. Delete. We're not going down there.
I think it's a unique theory, but I think you're right about one part of it. Mr. Bettman's not happy about this conversation going on, and it's all over. It's not just, of course, on the Green Zone. It's all over the place that people are talking about Mike Babcock and the Edmonton Oilers.
And they're not talking about probably one of the best
spitting chicklets, 32 thoughts, all of them. They're all talking Babcock.
And this is one of the best Stanley Cup finals that we've had in years.
Yeah, Jamie brought it up earlier. The 2016 series against Pittsburgh was great against San Jose. Wrong team won, but that's okay. That happens. But when you look at that, what's going on, this series has been so compelling. It's so much fun to watch and so entertaining. Everything you want in the finals, you're getting it. And we're talking about Babs and the Edmonton Oilers. You're right.
But let's dig into
potential investigation.
Yeah, let's dig into, again, this whole series has been unbelievable. It's been so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, every game has had a two-goal lead evaporate, and we've seen two overtimes
record
and a double overtime.
Breaking.
You know, Logan Stankoven's 10-0 when he scores. Brett Howden scored 14 goals. You go on of all
goals.
Brett Howden, he's Fernando Pisani, 2.0.
What, did he get six goals in the season?
It's ridiculous.
12 all year.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So... And Jordan Staal became the oldest player to score in each of the first four games of a Stanley Cup final in NHL history, the previous record by Johnny Busick. Like, every night there's a new record. How good is this series? It's the game three, the second most watched NHL Stanley Cup final game in the United States. Ever.
The series has been fantastic. And it's interesting. It kind of follows the script, right? Carolina gets off to a good start. Sometimes they get rewarded. Sometimes they don't. Vegas is terrible, and then you're like, the lead happens. As you said, there's no lead that's been safe in this series. No lead has been safe. And then in the second period, Vegas does what Vegas does. The second period, they own it. The stat last night, they've outscored the Carolina Hurricanes 9-1 in the second period in this series. And then magic happens in the third. It's just been incredible. Last night's goal by Jordan Staal was, after the second goal, was absolutely amazing. I felt bad for the first goal because Nabber gets hit with another puck in front and it goes right down to Staal. They just hit him in the shoulder. Yeah. And then bang, Staal puts it in. But Staal toe picks on that. He's trying to open up for that puck to come across, and then he toe picks and goes down. I thought Ray Ferraro, I don't know which broadcast you guys were listening to, but I was watching Ray Ferraro, and that play in the corner, when you saw all the Vegas Golden Knights in the corner, Ray goes, that looks like a Golden Knights team picture in the corner, Vegas team picture in the corner right there, because all the guys on the ice were over there. And then Staal falls, but as he's falling, he knows that he's got to actually open up the blade of a stick a little bit and then chip it to get it up and over, or else it would have been just a tap-in, and he chips it over Carter Hart.
And he had to switch hands.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, he was
incredible.
Yeah, he was flipping in the air.
Incredible goal. But the games have been so much fun to watch. And, I did not think we'd see 9 goals twice. I didn't think we'd see 8 goals or 7 goals. It's absolutely amazing to me how this series has gone. Mark Stone, guaranteed breakaway game. He shouldn't be getting a breakaway game.
No, I'm faster than Stone.
No, you're not.
I am.
But smart.
There's a possibility I'm faster.
High hockey IQ, that guy. And he's able to get in behind people. And Mitch Marner is obviously saying that pasture is a little bit greener over here. And so... it's been so much fun to watch. So many different storylines. John Tortorella behind the bench. It's been fantastic. It's been so much fun to watch.
Two quick questions. Real quick. Do you think Mark Messier will go downstairs and tell Mark Stone the same advice he gave you 30-some years ago?
I can't say, because he's still got a lot left. But, yes, it's he knows. He's looking in the mirror. He knows.
Yeah, Mark told Drew to get the Bic out.
Jamie, something
needs to be done, Stone.
The hardest thing to do
turkey, something.
Is accepting it. Acceptance is the last step. I'll just tell you that.
And Bussy, is he starting game 5, you think?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I heard Jerry talking about that, you know, sitting Anderson and having... I thought it was a great move by Rod Brindamore, very compassionate. You guys are right. He's really dealing with a lot. Like, Claude Lemieux wasn't just his agent. He was a very close friend. Mm-hmm. And it shook him. And he was able to get through that last game and win that last game against the Canadiens, but it was hard. And so the right thing to do was do what he did, was just sit him and just let him just take a couple of days. And that's a great move by the coach.
Can't wait for game 5 tomorrow night. Drew, take care. Enjoy the basketball game tonight.
Oh, I will. Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to see Jalen Brunson fake another injury.
That is our NBA and NHL insider, Drew Remenda, on 980 CJME and 650 CKO. Jamie and Locker with you on this Wednesday afternoon. As New York City's getting ready for Game 4, a little less security around New York's Madison Square Garden than there was when the president showed up for Game 3. However, the videos from after the loss to the Spurs in Game 3, I'm a little bit concerned how things are going in New York.
Yeah.
When it comes to fan behavior outside of Madison Square Garden and around New York City. Like, I don't think they're going to be, if they lose this series, I don't think they're going to handle it very well.
I don't think they're going to handle it well if they win. They're not very mature.
No, that it's, there was punches being thrown, everything going on. It was a complete, we just don't need Vancouver 2.0 in New
They've
York City.
They've got players now stepping up to Mike's going, what are you doing? Like, hey, calm down.
Calm down. We're
like, everyone just get along. Yes. Just because the guy wore a Spurs jersey to
the game. I've learned a few things that it rarely helps. It helped back in the 50s when Rocket Richard did it during the Montreal riots when the NHL suspended him, but I'm not so sure it's going to help this time. Hopefully, cooler heads prevail in New York City tonight for game number 4.
Get the latest news on your team from the Green Zone.
The Daily Blitz with Brittany Gray.
He is our Green Zone Rider reporter, Britton Gray.
So the Arkell song that we came in with,
the People's Champ. Yes.
That is an anti-Donald Trump song. That song is about Trump from 2018. Yeah, that created during his presidency.
Why would anybody write a song about...
I'm looking for the People's Champ, but it ain't you.
An anti-Trump song. That's weird.
They just say the same thing over.
I'm looking for the People's Champ. Here's the last one.
And it ain't you.
At that time, Donald Trump was, of course, going to drain the swamp. We're bringing it back to the people, the corruption. Meanwhile, you're a billionaire who, you know, maybe.
Yeah, you know the stock markets have some interesting movement going on, but we don't need to dig into that. People want to know about the Rough Riders, Britton. Why are you bringing geopolitical Trump stuff in here with the Arkells?
Trump was at the Knicks game. We came with that Arkell song. I just thought it's a good little connector.
Good tie-in. Nice work, Britton.
Cue the stick to sports text in 5, 4. Okay. The pads were on today for the Rough Riders. That was a pleasant surprise when I showed up. What was the reasoning behind that, the rare appearance of pads in a regular season practice?
Well, of course, Corey Mace likes the physicality. He's admitted he'd have pads on every day if they allowed it. But this team hasn't hit people in a long time. They had a pad practice, I think, the last week at camp, but it was a very not intense one. You were there. You not a lot going on. Just to kind of get the feel again, okay, this is what it's like to hit someone. This is how it feels to get the pop of the pads, right? And so... something needed. It's been a long time since this team has played a football game. So something just to get back in the swing of things, which is the challenge Corey Mace has this week, getting the guys ready to go after a week one bye. And then that, of course, early preseason end.
Keyshawn Johnson, what's going on there?
He's back and he looks good. But we saw the video of him, of course, with Malcolm Bell there. One of, if not the best route runners in the entire CFL. Obviously, terrible injury he suffered late last season on October 10th there against the Argos. Missed the playoffs. But when we talk about the guys that the Riders lost from that Grey Cup roster, you have to remember Keyshawn Johnson was not on that Grey Cup roster. You get him back, which is an upgrade over who they did have out there in a Joe Ajoe. Because, boy, Keyshawn, King Schaefer Baker, Sam Emelis, Keyshawn Johnson, name me a better trio of wide receivers in the entire CFL.
Hold on, I'll get back to you. Yeah, that's a pretty good trio right there. I was trying Tyler Snead, Tyson Philpott. Well, if Alex Hollins can become the 1,000-yard receiver again, he was in BC in Montreal, that could be in that conversation. But yeah, that's a pretty good trio for the for Trevor Harris to sling the ball around. And we recorded the Blitz podcast this morning, so it's up now for your viewing pleasure.
Ladies and gentlemen, Canada's fastest-growing podcast, the Blitz podcast, hosted by Jamie and I and Britton Gray. Get it where you get your fine podcast today.
You have some high expectations for Keyshawn Johnson this year, Britton.
I do. I admittedly didn't mention it on the Blitz, but boy, when you look at his skill set and everything he can do, possession guy, can break away, makes good catches. He does have the ability to do the 100-1,010 season. 100 receptions, 1,000 yards, 10 touchdown receptions. He has that ability. Of course, you have to stay healthy. That's a big thing, and it's a tough thing to do, but he can definitely do it. Keyshawn Schaefer Baker is a guy I'm very interested in this season because I think people around the league forgot how good he can be because he was hurt early last season. Came back, kind of had to really get up to speed again and get back from the injury. But he is one of, if not the toughest guy to bring down. You rarely see him go down on the first hit. Takes multiple guys to bring him down. If he stays healthy again, he could be a big receiver for this team.
So am I to believe by this question in here that the banner is up, just not revealed?
Yes.
Okay.
They have a tarp over it right
now. They have a tarp. Okay. I haven't seen that yet. So then they just bring down the tarp, and that's the banner kind of raising, I guess.
Well, who knows what they'll actually do during the game. Like, they're still getting the board set up down there.
Yeah.
It's a tarp right now. Maybe during the game you'll have a little bit more glitz and glam than just bring down the green tarp off of it.
Pretty serious storm last night. Mm-hmm. So, any issues?
No, all good there. Looks okay. Like the hail didn't cause it. There wasn't even a pixel missing off the big screen there. So, all good there.
Yeah, it must have come right from the right direction for the screen.
The screens. Yeah, yeah. Because we got some hail.
Yep. A few vehicles in my neighborhood would show you we got some hail.
How's the curling rock?
Oh, the curling rock had hail damage 3 years ago. That thing looks like a golf ball now.
I got my vehicle.
Just aerodynamic. Slicing through the air.
Into the garage 10 minutes before the hail came down. So just got in there.
I didn't even see any hail last night.
No. On the eastern edge of the eastern side of the city. Actually, there's a line in downtown Regina where, like, part of downtown didn't get hail, and then five blocks over totally got dumped on. So,
yeah,
one of those weird phenomenons, but doesn't look like a lot. Maybe some cars at the Cooperative
Stick to
Center
sports, Nye. What are you doing?
What?
Trump weather? Come on.
People care way more about the weather in Saskatchewan than they do Trump. I can guarantee you that. Okay, who are some other breakout players, Britton, we should be keeping an eye on for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders this year?
It's tough to call him a breakout player because we haven't seen anything from him yet. But Desmond Evans just is such an interesting prospect this team has brought in. Of course, he was the number one defensive line prospect coming out of high school. Has not lived up to that potential. Spent some time at training camp with the Tennessee Titans. Gets cut from there. If Corey Mace can find a way to unlock what was seen from this guy, he has the build you want. Big guy, 6'4", 6'5", will have the wingspan. If he can unlock that potential, he could be a disruptor coming off the edge for the Riders this season.
So, Jamie and I's confident Insex is out. We got no playoffs, Final Four, Grey Cup loss, repeat. Where are you? Are you with me on the repeat?
Yeah, I'm on a repeat. I have this team at 13 wins even, which means, unfortunately,
look at that.
They're That's going aggressive. To have to give Darren some stakes because I like this team. I think this team is also finding some motivation. When you're the returning or when you're the defending champions, you have to find motivation. You're the team with the target on their backs. I don't think this team feels that way because a lot of people are picking the BC Lions. The entire CFL offseason seems to be more about Nathan Rourke finally getting his Grey Cup than the Riders repeating for the first time. And I think this team is extra motivated to kind of get that one push that one to the side here.
That's right.
About 20 minutes into the Blitz podcast, you can hear my rant on this.
13-5, this that's confidence.
On how it's all about
Put
Nathan
that in
Rourke.
Your index, Nye.
Wah, wah, wah.
Little Britton grade.
It's a lot
it down.
For a guy with one CFL season under his belt. One full one.
Well, he was pretty good a few years ago before he went
got
to the
hurt.
National Football League.
Then he got hurt.
Yeah, and quarterbacks get hurt sometimes, and he came back. And he lit up the league last year. And he's the face of the league. It needs to be high. Everybody's like, oh, we need to promote our stars better. And then when we promote Nathan Rourke, we have people like Britton saying, oh, why is Nathan Rourke being promoted? He's the face of the league.
I mean, I get why we're promoting him.
And
Absolutely.
Then people come after me. Oh, why are you picking the BC Lions? They haven't won anything. I picked the Riders last year. They hadn't won anything. Nobody said anything about that, did they? Nobody. They're like, yeah, let's go with the Riders. They didn't win anything under Trevor Harris or Corey Mace before that.
You seem a little defensive.
It's Nathan Rourke is now becoming or has become the face of the franchise. So, yes, it is a major storyline of the potential of him winning his first Grey Cup.
He's preparing for being wrong. You can feel it, right, Britton?
you know, credit to him because he's still getting sentences out. When we talked about fantasy football on the podcast, I couldn't even get full sentences out anymore.
He completely froze
up. Frustrated dealing with talking about that.
The words were coming through his brain faster than his mouth could move.
So I was making sure I didn't say anything with an expletive in it that we didn't want out there.
By the way, we have assigned Jamie and I.
Are you not allowed to swear on YouTube?
On the Green
I'm a professional.
Zone.
Oh, okay.
Here on the Green Zone, Jamie and I have assigned Britton the point person for all CFL fantasy football complaints. So please, if you have any issues with your fantasy football team, technically or otherwise, please find a way of getting a hold of Britton Gray. He's easy to find on social media, and just send him your notes.
I still can't pick up the player I want. Still says he's on waivers.
Yeah, I'm trying to pick up the same player, and
whoever gets there first.
You two guys are trying to mess with everybody on the pool, and you guys are getting hamstrung by technical issues.
Okay, Britton. I don't even want to talk about this.
No, let's not do this.
LeBron James, in an interview, says, I'm the guy. It's me, LeBron James, GOAT, greatest of all time in NBA history. And then he says Michael Jordan would say it, Shaq would say it, Larry Bird. Now, here's the thing, Larry Bird, I did some quick research. Sorry, LeBron. Larry Bird was interviewed last year, was asked about the GOAT. Was it LeBron? Was it Michael? And he picked Michael Jordan. He said Larry Bird would say Larry Bird. No, LeBron, because he has some self-awareness to and I don't know, some decency to acknowledge, okay, there is people better than me in the NBA. So Larry Bird says Michael Jordan. But here's LeBron saying, if you're picking out of all the all-time greats first overall, it'd be hard not to pick me.
Hmm.
Is he right or is he selfish?
He's right. Larry just didn't want to get into arguments with a bunch of people on social media about Michael Jordan being the greatest, which... I mean, second best player of all time. When you're the best player, you're going to say you're the best player. Absolutely, Shaquille O'Neal would say, I was the best player. I was the reason. That's the mindset you need as the top guy in any league.
I don't know about that.
Comparing what LeBron plays with compared to playing where Michael was in the 90s, it's hard to compare. The athletes are different now. But for my money, at their prime, best player I've ever watched play the game is Michael Jordan. And it's...
I would agree.
I think it's the only answer you can really have.
And it's the wrong answer you can have, but you have it and good on you.
If I'm pick, like if we're picking teams, I'd pick Kobe before I'd pick LeBron.
And that LeBron said Kobe would pick Kobe, so interesting.
Yeah, Kobe had no lack of confidence.
And Kareem.
Kareem.
LeBron's the greatest all-around player that's ever played basketball. He can do everything.
Yeah, he can do everything. Michael Jordan was a shooting
really
guard.
Needed Scottie Pippen to be there before he had any success.
Okay. And LeBron's never put people around him to have success. Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. Okay. Kyrie Irving. Yeah. Kevin Love. Let's go build super teams for LeBron Braun to win a championship.
That Cleveland ring where he got over Golden State is bigger than any ring Michael Jordan ever got.
Well, yeah, because they were the best team in the NBA.
No, they weren't.
They were the target. And they
beat a Golden State Warriors team that
lost 40. Bulls. The Bulls were the greatest team, and they never lost. They never lost.
Michael Jordan left that team for a year. They were in the conference finals. LeBron left the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're still rebuilding from it.
Most guys in the game are, say, it's MJ.
Well, the older Shaq, guys, sure.
Barkley.
Yeah, all the older guys, sure.
What's wrong? There's nothing wrong with older guys having an opinion based on history and knowledge and watching the game rather than all your kids and your TikToks.
Listen,
that's enough. Get out of the studio. That's enough of this ridiculousness. LeBron
not getting a lot of support on the text line, Britton.
Hey, people can be wrong. It's okay.
And of course, LeBron would say that, right? I'm the greatest. It would be hard not to pick me. Ugh. Most
He's probably self-unaware human being.
I will say this. He's probably one of the more unlikable athletes of all time.
That is true. People love to hate LeBron. He's a very talented basketball player. Is he number five, top five? Maybe. We'll see.
He's top five.
Wemby's going to pass him. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.